Oh, good morning. Might be good afternoon, just. Good morning. Or afternoon, as the case may be. Now, I've enjoyed our walk through Matthew. We've been just progressing our way through. And what I've enjoyed is meeting the people who Jesus met along the way. And getting to know them a little bit more and seeing just how Jesus interacted with them. And seeing how their lives were changed as they met up with Jesus. And it's been like we've been kind of walking along beside them along the way. We've been witnessing the followers of Jesus growing as Jesus meets them. And this morning's verse, we got the, just whack it up there. As I said, it's like we've been walking along with Jesus and seeing these numbers grow as Matthew progresses. Well, this morning's verses are a little bit different to what we've seen before. It's like we kind of, instead of walking along with Jesus, now we kind of pull back, pull up, and look down, and we kind of pause, and there's a bit of an overview, a bit of a look down. It's like we've moved from street view in Google Earth terms, and we've zoomed out, and now we're looking down a little bit further. So we're in verse 35 of Matthew, and as I say, we're kind of at this point we've paused, and we're taking stock. And we're looking down. So let's look at verse 35. And it says this: Jesus travelled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing something, which we'll come to in a minute. So when we were kind of walking alongside with Jesus and meeting various people in our previous studies, I'm not sure we grasped the urgency of what Jesus was doing. Well, I didn't really see that urgency that was in what he was doing. But here we see in verse 35, we see that Jesus was going to all the towns in the area. Not just some towns, but all the towns. One of my bands I've enjoyed over the last couple of years is 21 Pilots. Now, I enjoyed them before anyone had heard of them. Now, some people perhaps less than my 52, 53 years will know 21 Pilots. But they played in Auckland a couple of weeks ago. Well, they did a New Zealand tour, but they only played in Auckland. They only felt the need to go to Auckland to play. But here we see Jesus, he just didn't feel the need just to go to, say, Jerusalem. He felt the need to go to all the towns in the area. So the kind of message or the announcement that he had was pretty special. But more than that, he went to not only all the towns, but he went to all the villages. So those little wee, seemingly inconsequential little villages, he went to as well and made his announcement. So it must have been something pretty, pretty important. But what was that announcement that he was making by going to all the towns and all the villages? Now we had our flag referendum not so long ago, and every letterbox in New Zealand got the information about it. And that was kind of a flag referendum. But here, Jesus is going to all the towns and all the villages, and he's announcing something So it must have been pretty important if Jesus was involved in that. It must have been something of great importance. So what was it? Announcing the good news about the kingdom. That was what he was going to all the towns and all the villages announcing. Because the nation of Israel, they'd been desperately waiting for their Messiah to come. Desperately wanting him to come, their promised Messiah. God had promised their Messiah. He was their long-awaited king that God had promised them. A majestic and a righteous king they'd been waiting for. A king who would establish their long-awaited kingdom here on earth, in the land that God had promised them. You know, they were desperate for this to happen. You know, at the time they were under the Romans, their land had been whittled away, and they were desperate. And this kingdom that would be established by this king would be characterized by prosperity, by power, by righteousness. What a huge contrast to what they had at that time. And how desperately they wanted it. And God had promised, covenanted, that this would happen. And they were hanging out for it. And here we find that right now, that king, that Messiah that they were desperately wanting, was here. And it was Jesus. And if they, as a nation, the leaders and the people, if they together had a heart change, and if they turned back to God, acknowledged their sin, acknowledged that Jesus was their Messiah, their King, then he would establish this kingdom. Can you see they were so close to this happening? So close, just they as a nation, their leadership, the people, if they did this, then that kingdom would be established. And Jesus was there, their king, offering that kingdom that they so desperately needed. And Jesus was going from town to town, village to village, telling them this. And he backed up his claims by doing, just later in the next part of that verse, By healing disease and illnesses. He was kind of authenticating that message of his and backing up his claims by doing that. You know, they were so close to getting it. All they needed to do was reach out and boom, that plan would kick in. But then in verse 36, just the very next verse, we see a real, real sad verse. So we're still kind of on Google Earth looking down from on high. Because as Jesus went from town to town to village, he observed something in the people. He observed the crowds. In verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. So there was something going on that when Jesus just observed it, it rocked him and he had compassion. I think this is the NLT version translation that we're working through. But the message, I think the message captures something about it. The message says, when he looked out on the crowds, his heart broke. Isn't that when Jesus, Almighty God, looked out on the crowds. Remember, he had this amazing message. His heart broke. There's one guy I was reading, and he was just trying to describe maybe that feeling. And he said, think of a parent that goes to a hospital, opens the door of this room, and for the first time they see their child, you know, in desperate need, lying on the hospital bed. You know, the heart just breaks. That was kind of how this guy tried to get across. So Jesus, as he looked out on the crowds, his heart broke. And why? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. See, the crowds where we are now, and as Jesus moved around, they came in droves to hear Jesus, to hear the message that he had. You know, and they witnessed those healings that authenticated his message. And many understood the message that he said. Many knew that they were in need of a heart change, knew that Jesus was their Messiah and their King. They realized that he was offering this kingdom to them. And they were close to accepting it. But they were so confused about it. Because their leaders, the religious leaders, said otherwise. They were kind of sending them down another route. They should have been, if you like, the shepherds leading the people, the sheep, to Jesus. But they were doing quite the reverse. And instead of leading people to Jesus, saying, yes, he is your King. He is your Messiah. They were saying, no, he's not. Continue to follow us. Continue to just try and follow the rules and regulations and you'll be right with God. No. They were really confused about what was going on. And then verse 37, we kind of, we then go zap back down to kind of walking along with Jesus again. And he turns to his disciples and he says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray that the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his fields. In other words, Jesus was kind of saying, we need to get word out there. We need to get people to get alongside these people, to talk about what I've said and to build on that. We need people to go to places that I've been unable to get to and get the message out there, to guide them to me. And he says, pray that God will send these people. Pray that God will do it. But here's something that struck me with this verse. At first reading, we might think that his disciples, who the disciples Jesus addressing, were the 12. But maybe that's not the case. If we do a little bit of detective work and just go to the very next verse, chapter 10, verse 1, which follows on, we read, he called his 12 disciples to him. So it seems that the disciples he was talking about here weren't the select 12, you know, his super duper followers of his. They maybe he was addressing just the general followers, you know, you and me type followers of Jesus. And you could imagine these followers, these everyday followers of Jesus thinking, after Jesus, you know, addressed them with that urgency and that compassion, there's a role for me to play here. You know, I can be part of this. It's not just for those special 12 who are with Jesus, but me too. You know, I'm thinking, man, what a privilege. What an excitement to be involved in this. To be involved in changing these people's lives around. He's asking kind of me to pray. And I wonder if, and I kind of think many of them would have, but maybe I can be an answer to that prayer and be one of those workers as well. As we progress through Matthew, we see that many of the Jewish people did become followers of God, did acknowledge that Jesus was who he said he was. And they did have their sins forgiven and come into a true relationship with God. But sadly, the leaders and the nation as a whole didn't. And as we progress, we'll see that many of the leaders actually said that Jesus was from the devil, was of Satan, not of God. So that long-awaited and promised kingdom didn't come at that time. It will in a coming day, because God has covenanted, he's promised that it will happen. But they failed to accept that offer. They were so close. Things could have been so much different, and real sad that it didn't. But there's a question for us, I think, well, probably for me anyway. But if Jesus showed up here, well, he is here, but if kind of he walked in the door and he said, come on, let's go for a walk around our community, and we headed out together, walking alongside Jesus, and he just walked around Whitby or maybe the suburb where we live, and maybe said, okay, let's head off to your school and walk through your school, walk through your tech or uni, or maybe your workplace. Here's a question. Would his reaction be any different as he looked out and observed the people who were around, you know, who were at your school or in our community and in our street? Would he look out on those people with that same compassion, knowing that they had a great need of him as well? Now, the context for us is the cross and the great need people have for that. You know, would his heart break as he looks out and around the people we come across each day? And do you think he would say those same things, that same thing to his disciples? Hey, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. You know, would he ask us to pray, and would he ask us maybe to get alongside the people we meet? Because I think maybe he would. We could say yes to that. Now, we started at the start with the first slide, a role to play with a question mark. And I kind of think that we could take that question mark away, and that we indeed do have a role to play, that those verses can apply, you know, Jesus' feeling about compassion for people who don't know him, and the need for us to pray that people can head out wherever it may be and get alongside people is applicable to us. And indeed, we have that role to play in being those workers. I don't think it's any different for us. So let's pray and maybe be challenged by just those few verses of Matthew. Father, again, we thank you for the practical nature of your word, that it does challenge us and help us to live how you would have us live. And Father, we acknowledge that there are many people around us who don't know you, and your heart and your son's heart just goes out for those people. So, Father, challenge us to pray that people might be raised up to get alongside others who don't know you, and indeed challenge us when we are those workers that we indeed can go out and fulfil that. So we thank you for the people we in the anchor are reaching, and Father, we look forward to Maybe you highlighting other people that we can get alongside and just share something of you, something of your love and something of the cross as well. So Father, too, we just commit the Jewish people to you as well, and we do acknowledge that in a coming day they, as a nation, will indeed acknowledge that Jesus is your king, is their king. So we do commit those who are working in amongst specifically the Jewish people. So again, we thank you for your son and what he's done for us. Amen.